The reading is written in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 13, to chapter 5, verse 11, and is to be found on page 1188 in the Church Bible. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verse 13. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind, who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labour pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks so much, Kirsty. What is the next big date in your diary? For Erin and Katie, whose bands we just read, it's probably the middle of September, their wedding day. For some of the younger ones who have gone to their groups, it'll be Tuesday when the schools break up. Or some, I know, have snuck in there early. They've already had that joy. Or maybe it's the date of the job interview. Or the date of the test results appointment. Maybe you're counting down the days until you go on holiday. Or maybe it's Friday the 15th of August, which is the day that the Premier League returns. Is that you? I don't know. Well, for Christians, the really big date in the diary is the day that Jesus returns. Because that's the day when he will restore this oh-so-broken world, where he will take away all sickness and depression, suffering and deprivation, sadness and death. And the Thessalonians were expecting Jesus to come back at any moment. We know from chapter 1 that Paul had taught them that Jesus' resurrection, about Jesus' resurrection, and to wait for his return. But now it's been a little while, and some of their people have died. And the question is, what happens to those people who have already died? Will they miss out on the rescue Did the lifeboat not make it in time for them? And sadly, that question is not hypothetical for us. We will all have lost brothers and sisters in Christ who we loved deeply and miss terribly. We don't simply get over it. We can't just move on. A dear friend of ours died last week, just a couple of years older than us. We're devastated. And we're devastated for her husband and for her two young children left behind. Death is horrible. It feels so hopeless. And that raises all sorts of other questions about our own mortality too, doesn't it? What will the doctor say? Do I have the same dodgy genes as my parents? Will I be around long enough to see any grandchildren? And yet at the same time, the topic of Jesus' return, it might all feel very distant. It's not something we often spend very much time thinking about, I don't think. It seems pretty irrelevant to life now. Sure, it's one of those Christians that say that one of those things that Christians say that we believe in, but maybe we've always really thought it's a bit fanciful. It's a bit sci-fi. I'll say I believe it, but it's a bit out there. To say it's the next big date in the diary is to overstate it, to say the least. We don't even know when it'll be. And it doesn't make that much difference to my day-to-day life. And actually, I'm more interested in living for the moment. That's what we're told, isn't it? Live for today. All the talk of Jesus' return, and especially when we start going anywhere near those topics of Judgment Day, that's a bit much, isn't it? It's a bit bumper sticker. You know the famous bumpers? Jesus is coming. Look busy. All that stuff is not really me. And yet, both chapter 4, verse 18, and chapter 5, verse 11 in our passage say that Jesus' return should be an encouragement to us. A great encouragement to us. Not a glib answer that does more harm than good, but real hope now that offers real perspective on life. And that's been my prayer for us this week, that it would encourage us. It would encourage us in the face of death and encourage us to live with the right date in mind, the right date in the diary. Because God says to us this morning that Jesus' return means that Christians will be distinctive in death and distinctive in life. So first, distinctive in death. Verse 13, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. Death demands grief. Those feelings that the Thessalonians have, that we have, of numbness, pain, dark clouds overwhelming us, emptiness, anger, deep sadness, they are totally right. We're not told to dismiss death as an unfortunate inevitability. The Bible doesn't tell us to minimize death as just a temporary absence. Jesus wept at Lazarus' grave. It would be inhuman, even godless, for there not to be tears at a funeral. Death demands grief. But Christian death demands distinctive grief. Grief that is different to the world around us because there is hope in the face of it. And to find it, we need to look back and we need to look forward. So we look back, verse 14, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again. 2,000 years ago, there was a living, breathing man who died. He was killed by expert killers. He really died. And then on the third day, he rose again. He'd been saying he would do that, but no one had believed him, and they'd have been as skeptical after his death as they had been before. He appeared to his disciples. He spoke and ate with them. He touched them. They touched him. 500 people saw him at the same time. And the church was born out of his disciples' conviction that Jesus really had risen from the dead. And most of them would go on to be killed for it. The disciples, they knew either that he had risen or they knew that he hadn't. They knew either way, but sometimes people die for things that they think are true but aren't. But no one dies for what they know not to be true. And the disciples would have known. Which means that when we believe in life after death, we're looking at something that really happened and therefore will happen again. The pattern is set. How can you be confident that the sun will rise tomorrow morning? Because it did this morning. How are you confident there is life after death? For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Jesus rose, and so will his people. So those who have died in Christ are not lost. It is as if they are asleep, because being asleep means you wake up. And being asleep in Christ means that they will rise again like Christ. And so we grieve, but we grieve with hope. But then we look forward. We look forward to the day when Jesus will return. Verses 15 and 16, according to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. The Thessalonians don't need to worry about those who have already died. Because in fact, they're going to be the ones who are going to rise, who are going to rise first. God is saying, you know, don't worry. They're at the front of the queue. Do you do this so that if you need to make sure that you're not going to forget your passport, so you pack them first. You make sure you've got they're the passports that get packed first, so they're not forgotten. They're the jumper that's been left at the door, so you really don't forget it. They will not be forgotten. They will not be lost when Jesus returns. In fact, they'll be first out of the blocks. So again, we grieve. But we grieve with hope. But that's not all. Verse 17. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. So, if Jesus returned this afternoon, and he might, the picture, and I'm aware there are some slight variations about this, but this is my best understanding, and we can talk about this more if you'd like to, is that the dead will rise first. Then, we and all those who trust in Christ will be caught up with them into the air, in the air, to greet our risen and now returning Lord Jesus. We go out to greet him and as he comes down to earth. So it's the same word, actually, in the Greek, the meet there is just as the crowd went out to meet Jesus when he arrived in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Now all his people are caught up to meet Jesus as he arrives onto earth. Like the Prime Minister coming outside number 10 to welcome the foreign dignitary outside the front door, then to bring him in. We don't just meet him. We'll be with him forever.
our good and gracious Saviour, our strong and wise Shepherd, our pure and compassionate King, who will make all things right and will rule with perfect justice. Where he is, there his people will be. That is our hope in the face of death. Life beyond death, with him, forever. Now, at this point, we need to acknowledge that we will all have lost people who we love, who we don't know whether they died trusting Jesus with their sins forgiven or not. Maybe we even think probably not. And that leaves us with questions and pain, even anger, because there is no assurance of hope in our grief there. There are no easy answers to that question. All we can do is fall back on what we know of God, that he is good, that he is just, that he is merciful, that he will do the right thing, and that if we were in his shoes, we'd make the same call. We can't trust other people like that, can we? Because we're all human, we're limited, we sin, we get things wrong, but God is God. And if I can't trust him, then I'm left with no hope at all. And so for us left, he offers to anyone and everyone who will receive him hope of eternal life with him. If that's not you today, that today could be the day before it's too late. Do come and speak to me if that's you. So we grieve. We really grieve. But we do not grieve without hope for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We look back at what Jesus has done and we look forward at what he will do. And that doesn't take away the tears today or even tomorrow. It doesn't bring our loved ones back today either. But those brothers and sisters in Christ, they will be back. And so our tears are mixed with hope. Our friend's funeral is on the 14th of August. That is a big date in the diary in our family at the moment. But God says there is a bigger one. Because on the day Jesus returns, she will be raised. She will break through death just as Jesus did. She will be raised first. And if we've died by then, we'll be raised too. And if we're still here, then we'll join her to be with Jesus in his newly restored, perfect world forever. And it will be better than we could ever have imagined. So Jesus' return means we can be distinctive in death because we grieve with hope. But Jesus' return also means we can be distinctive in life because we live in the light. Every now and again, you hear a story of someone making a confident prediction of the date of Jesus' return. Famously, I think it was Harold Camping who predicted that Jesus would return on the 6th of September 1994. When that passed, he boldly tried again and predicted the 21st of May, 2011. I have done some research for you. I have looked up those dates. Nothing of any particular consequence happened on either of those dates. He did not come back. He was wrong. Jesus did not come back. Harold was wrong. And he shouldn't have tried to predict it because we're told here that it will come like a thief in the night. We don't know when it'll be. But just because we don't know when it will happen doesn't mean we should be surprised when it does. Jesus is coming back. And so the question of the second half of the passage is, are you ready? Because those it takes by surprise are in great danger. Chapter 5, verse 3 makes for sober reading, doesn't it? While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. The picture is of someone in their armchair watching TV in their quiet suburban semi-detached, not bothering to lock the door, thinking that what a lovely, peaceful, and safe neighborhood they live in, while the burglar's roaming around upstairs. It's to say, oh, I'm fine, I don't need Jesus. I'm fine, it's peace, safety, I don't need his forgiveness, I'm fine. I don't need his offer of eternal life, I'm fine. To them, Jesus' return will be a great surprise. And that's serious, because to be caught by surprise by Jesus' return means destruction is as inevitable as labor pains are in the maternity suite. Because if Christ hasn't died for our sin on our behalf, then we have to pay for it ourselves. But Christians, people who trust in Christ, are, verse 5 and 6, all children of the light and children of the day. So then let us not be like others who are asleep in the armchair, as it were, but let us be awake and sober. You are children of the light, so live like it. Jesus' people live like Jesus lived. Now, that is not to say that Christians are sorted. We just know we're not. And so we put our lives in his hands, find forgiveness, and seek to live in his ways. And knowing that Jesus could come back at any moment means we need to be sure we're not sort of caught napping when he does. Not literally, obviously, but I will never forget when someone asked me, hey, would you be ashamed if Jesus returned to find you behaving like that? It's a helpful question, I think. Because our lives now are about preparing for the one to come when Jesus returns. And that could be at any time. So get going. Get going. You know, if we knew when it might be, we could put it off. We don't know. Maybe that's why he didn't tell us the date. Get going, living out who in Christ you already are and you will live like forever. Or to use the illustration of the passage, put on your uniform that reveals who you really are. Uniforms reveal who you really are. This kind of reveals, not who I really am, but you know what I mean. The uniforms reveal who you are. Well, the Christian's uniform is godliness. That's what Mark showed us last week. God's purpose for our lives is godliness, to live more and more like Jesus. So that's why we put on faith and love as our breastplate, the hope of salvation as a helmet. We wear them, live them. Don't hold back, don't delay. Now, this passage sort of alludes to drunkenness as opposed to soberness as an example. Maybe that's an issue for you that you want to address, find help for. We're here for you in that. You're not alone. But we could broaden it out to other issues of self-control or self-indulgence, whether that's the shopping habits or the internet habits or the anger issues or the patience problems. First thing to say, there is forgiveness in Christ when you come to him. Second thing to say, it's a battle. You might be feeling that you're being defeated. You may not be winning. But if you're fighting, that is a sign that you're a child of the light. Keep going. But most of all, know that Jesus could come back at any moment and will bring in a kingdom of light for you to enjoy forever. to get ready for an eternity of light by living as children of light today. You know, dancers, they don't rehearse. I'm no expert, but I presume they don't rehearse for the big show by practicing a different dance. Prepare for your eternity by living your eternity today. By living in the light now, we're rehearsing for eternity. We'll make mistakes, we'll get things wrong, but we know where we belong. We belong to the day, and so we live as children of light. And wonderfully, God gives his Spirit to empower us in the fight, and he gives us each other to encourage each other in the fight too. That's where those verses finish, isn't it? Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So let's encourage one another. Let's encourage one another over tea, by WhatsApp, in the conversations this week. Jesus is coming back. He is. So we grieve with hope. We're distinctive in death. Live like it. Get ready. Prepare. Rehearse for eternity by living like that today. Jesus is coming back. We can't remind each other enough. Encourage one another with that truth, because it is our great source of comfort and motivation to live for today. Let's pray. Gracious Father, you know that there are all sorts of dates in our diary. But there is one that's not in there because we don't know when it is, and yet it is certain. And so we pray for your encouragement, for the encouragement of others to know deeply, even though that date is not in our calendars. You know when it will be. And it is no less certain just because we don't know when. And so we pray that we would know that the Lord Jesus is coming back. Would that give us hope in the face of death? And would it cause us to live in light of eternity? For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.